Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Welcome to Point of View on this Freedom Day, celebration day. It's not the day itself, it's a celebration day because it was meant to be yesterday. It was yesterday and celebrations continued today. So, of course, we were not here over the weekend when the big news broke, but we have to touch on the Western Cape's court's pronouncement on, obviously, the announcement that they have decided to set aside the adoption of the National Assembly and National Council of Provinces report on standing and select committees on finance of the fiscal framework. So there's a lot actually that went into this, and I'm going to go into detail with my guests that I'm going to be speaking to right now. Tomorrow we'll also be speaking to Parliament, and I think it's very important that we speak to Parliament for various reasons that we'll go into now. But I also want to get reaction from Labour, because we've been speaking to various political parties. We haven't had a chance to speak to Labour. And I'm actually quite also keen to hear from you on 086-000-959. You can send us a voice note if you like on 063-688-0959 as well. So it's not about the statement that we got from the finance minister. And I think this is very, very important. In as much as we got a statement from the finance minister saying that he is withdrawing, those were his words, the proposal of the VAT increase, it didn't actually matter what he had to say, because there are supposed to be processes in place to actually do it, right? As law, you're supposed to use some instruments to actually effect it. And just because the minister says that I have this intention to do X doesn't mean anything. He needed to have followed some processes. Now, on the line with us is EFF senior researcher Dr. Kumane Chimomola, who is going to help us understand where all of this actually has left us, because it's important we speak to the EFF. They're the very first people who, if you may remember when I was chatting to them earlier, that they're the ones that highlighted in that meeting, the Finance Standing Committee, that the procedural processes in that committee meeting themselves were flawed. That was the objection from the word go. Nobody listened, but most importantly, Parliament didn't listen. Dr. Kumane, good evening, and thank you so much for making time for us.
No, good evening, Pamela and Kai FM listeners, and thank you very much for having us.
I may have just mentioned it in my intro that, to cut a long story short, we are here because, as the EFF, you raised the issue of processes at the very onset, that what the Standing Committee of Finance was doing was non-procedural. It did not follow procedure, which is essentially what you took to court. We are now here. The court has now made a pronouncement. What then has to happen for all of this to be reversed or started again?
I think it's important perhaps to start here with this reminder to Kaya FM listeners. So according to the PFMA section 27, it reads that the minister must table a budget before the end of the financial year, meaning that before the end of 31 March, so that we're able to have a sense of what to expect going forward. Now, in this instance, today is the 28th of April, and South Africa has no budget before Parliament or anywhere. And as Minister indicated, he has to go back and start from scratch to draft a new budget. And what the Western Cape High Court did was to agree with the EFF that, number one, the procedure in which was followed in the Standing Committee on Finance on the 1st of April, which led then to a report that was tabled in the National Assembly, was flawed and irregular and unprocedural. And now let me tell you why this happened. This is the first time where the ANC in Parliament tabled a budget without majority. And in that Standing Committee on Finance meeting, the ANC did not have enough numbers to could pass that budget in the form and character as proposed by the Minister of Finance. And then on the other hand, the EFF, together with the Democratic Alliance and MKP, had made, I thought, were sound and practical proposals to say, let's amend this fiscal framework so that when we deal with other budget legislation later on, we'll be within the law, because we are required by the legislation, the Money Bills Amendment Procedure, Section 8.4, to clearly stipulate that we have amended or we have accepted the budget and the fiscal framework as tabled by the Minister of Finance. So that's where all this problem started. Now, we have to go back from the beginning. And by the beginning, we mean that I understand and appreciate that there could be some level of disparation on the side of the Minister of Finance, the GNU and everyone else in Parliament. But we have to appreciate that we need to go to the very beginning of how a budget is formulated, because essentially what the Minister of Finance is going to table, when he does table it, is going to be a new budget. And what does a new budget start with? A new budget starts with engaging departments by the National Treasury, and there are structures internally which serve that purpose. By the time it comes to Parliament, there should have been those engagements. And those engagements cannot be done overnight. They have to be meaningful, they have to be robust, and they have to be reflected on the budget that will ultimately be tabled in Parliament. But on the side of Parliament, it means that the minister has to retable the fiscal framework and revenue proposals, number one. Number two, there has to be a new division of revenue bill. Mm-hmm. There has to be a new appropriation bill. And we have to go back to, once the budget is tabled, all those instruments have to be referred to the respective committees, both the Standing Committee on Finance and the Standing Committee on Appropriation. And we'll have to put that question before the committee, and hopefully this time around, whoever is chairing will do it properly. At the beginning of the meeting, the chairperson must put it clearly to the committee. Are we amending or are we accepting the fiscal framework and revenue proposals as tabled by the Minister of Finance? If the committee agrees that we're amending it, then it means a report of that committee should reflect that decision. And then you will appreciate that even how we write it, we'll write it in line with that decision. So you can't put that decision at the end of the committee meeting. You have to put that decision at the beginning so that it assists shape and formulate a report, because a report must be an outcome of that decision. That's what we're fighting with the chair of that committee, Dr. Maswanganyi. Okay. And now we're vindicated because the court has agreed with us. So we have to redo this entire process.
I want to ask you this, and I'm not... I'm really trying not to be unkind, but let me ask it this way anyway. The decision to amend or adopt the fiscal framework, do you have the sense that everyone in the room understood what that meant?
No, I don't think they understood. Let me tell you, I was in that meeting. I was sitting next to Action SA Member of Parliament, Alan Beasley. If there's one of the videos that in the morning was circulating, I was right next to him. And when he made that proposal at the very beginning of the meeting, I then said to him, you can't make a proposal to amend, which is what he said. And the original text says that we hereby, as Action SA, move to amend. And then he says in the same sentence, with recommendations, with not with recommendation, with conditions. And the point I made to him was, you can either accept or amend. And the points which you are raising under conditions, we are empowered as Parliament to could amend ourselves. And then we'll give the Minister of Finance 2 days in terms of Section 8.6 to make input or reflect on what the amendments are. We don't have to send it back to the Minister of Finance. That's why you have the Money Bills Amendment Procedure. Amendment Procedure is the name of the bill. It means you can amend, and this is the procedure. And then it took the chair of the committee some form of consultation with who we don't know, when he was outside, which we thought was going to be 5 minutes, it turned out to be 1 hour and then 1 hour, 30 minutes. And then they then begin to appreciate that what Action SA has done, which the ANC majority, by the way, supported, is actually amending the fiscal framework. And then it leads this committee and the direction of Parliament into what the ANC did not want, and which is what? you are given 16 days after the budget is tabled mm-hmm. to pass the fiscal framework. Mm. And the 2nd of April was the 16th day mm. whereby we had to pass that fiscal framework. Even ANC members of parliament, they did not understand that the implications of amending means we have to do a different process. Mm-hmm. And once that was explained to them, they retreated and they made an initial amendment proposal a recommendation. That's how it became a recommendation. I don't think that even the entire caucus of Action SA had that appreciation, because when they walked out of that meeting, their understanding was that just by a mere recommendation in the report of the committee, now there's no VAT. The 0.5 percentage point increase on VAT is not going to come into effect on the 1st of May. It took a lot of explaining between the EFF and some legal minds to say you will still have a VAT increase, because the process required to reverse this VAT,
to amend,
it either has to be a parliament instrument or in this instance we went to court to seek that relief. So to be fair to them, I don't think they understood what was happening at all. I don't think they understand it even now.
Because I think for me that's important, that people understand where these political parties were coming from. The sense I got is that people were looking at it from different lenses. But here's my biggest concern. You did write to the chairperson of the Council of Provinces as well as to the National Assembly Speaker. Or am I incorrect?
No, it's correct. Absolutely, we did. The very same night after the adoption of the report, we were given a draft of those committee reports around 11, and we sent the letter before midnight.
So the concern I have is, once you've written to the Speaker highlighting your concerns about the procedure of what had happened and therefore your concerns about that the report that was handed to the National Assembly was not accurately depicting what had happened, what was the response from the Speaker?
You know, I was making a reflection earlier today. So I've been in Parliament for just over 10 years and I've seen a former Speaker Baleka Mbete preside over Parliament, and I must tell you, the current Speaker of Parliament, Metokuti Diza, she's the most unresponsive speaker. She's very lethargic. She doesn't communicate properly. She doesn't communicate openly. And what she did on the 2nd of April, when the EFF members of Parliament stood up and warned her that we were in that meeting, this was the TG of the EFF, Umpile and Snawo Tambo. They were in the meeting for 7 hours and they were telling her, they were reading the money bills clause which relates to how the report must be adopted. And all she said was, I was advised that the procedure was followed. That's all she said. Hmm. Advised by who? She doesn't say. When was she advised? She doesn't say. We don't even know if it was the parliamentary legal advice, Jenkins, Advocate Jenkins. So we were not sure what she was referring to. She could have simply listened to the recording because it was there. She would have heard that at no point did the chair of the committee put this question before the committee to say, are we accepting or are we amending the fiscal framework? She would have heard that for herself. And then she would have made a far much rational and practical decision and would have suspended that sitting. And in suspending the sitting, she would have put the interest of Parliament first before the interest of the ANC and GNU. But she did not do that. She simply dismissed the EFF. And that's what she has been doing for the past 4 or 5 months. I've observed she doesn't engage. She simply dismissed. And I'm not sure if she's getting any legal advice from the parliamentary officials, the secretary of the National Assembly, because these are seasoned people. I arrived in Parliament and I found them there, and they were senior by that time, and it has been 10 years now. So I don't think it's a matter of even poor advice. I just think she simply took a decision to protect the president, GNU, and the ANC, and ruled in a very irrational manner. Instead of being a Speaker of the National Assembly, effectively she became a Speaker of the ANC at the time.
So obviously the Western Cape High Court handed down the court order And this was on Sunday, and suspended the 0.5% point VAT increase. And obviously, Parliament and the minister was charged with the 50% of the costs. And I think it's important. So it's the minister and Parliament speaker who have to pay 50% of the costs thereof.
No, absolutely. And for us, the cost aspect is even secondary. Primarily, what the court order has done is to reflect on both the speaker and the chairperson of council, even the chairperson of the standing committee on finance, Dr. Mm-hmm. Maswangai. So the manner in which they handle these processes and the Western Cape High Court order is very clear. This could have been avoided because it's not even a number issue when it goes to the National Assembly, as we all saw, they had a majority by just few numbers. It's simply the matter of appreciating that a budget, firstly, it's a political instrument. Secondly, it's not a national treasury budget, but it's a parliament budget. Mm. So all those budget instrument, the division of revenue bill, the appropriation bill, and the fiscal framework are proposed by the Minister of Finance, and they remain a proposal until Parliament took a decision. And what the Western Cape High Court has done, or they've opened a way for a different conversation, we should not hear people tomorrow saying that they want this to be funded, we're going to the National Treasury for this and that. They should go to members of parliament who are democratically elected to say that you must amend proposals that come from the treasury so that our demands and what we think should be funded is well reflected on a people's budget. And the Western Cape Court order, remember, is still just dealing with suspension of VAT and setting aside of the fiscal framework and revenue proposal. We still have to deal with a whole lot of things. The manner in which the VAT was increased by the minister, as the EFF argued in court. But much more fundamentally, we need to go back and ask ourselves, what kind of budget do we want as a country? And this court order has opened that avenue for us.
And I think it's important. I've always been concerned about the time frame between the proposal and given by the minister, when the fiscal framework meets, committee meeting, standing committee of finance sits for the fiscal framework, and when the voting happens. The time is just too limited in case there's a decision to go for amendment.
Well, it works if you have majority and you're not willing to genuinely and meaningfully engage in those proposals. Because the assumption there has always been the ANC will have some form of a meeting where they discuss their priorities. Those priorities will be transferred to government through the president of the ANC, which then formulate the budget with the treasury. But the reality, and this is what the ANC has confirmed to us, the reality is that the National Treasury develop a budget independent of the ANC. So you can almost argue that the ANC see the budget for the first time when it's tabled in Parliament, and they engage with it like the ANC and everyone, like the EFF and everyone else, except that their engagement is simply to toe a party line and make sure that that budget crosses the line. And with a majority, it's easy. But I agree with you. We have to think about the entire process to formulate a budget, because Parliament is supposed to engage with the budget formulation from day one, 1st April, for the following year when the National Treasury start also. So when the regulations and the framework of how we're going to prepare the budget are circulated by the Treasury, it means Parliament must have a look at those. Do they make sense? Will they deliver a budget which we think we can engage later on when it's tabled? And. And then throughout this engagement, Parliament has to ask serious questions. In April, in June, in October, when there's a budget adjustment, there's an opportunity to engage the budget, because in October, the minister will give you an indication of which direction it's going. And then by the time it's tabled in Feb, you are then well equipped to be able to say, we are ready with our proposals. We are going to amend the fiscal framework, and this is what we're going to do. The EFF had a benefit in this instance, because remember, in the past 10 years I've been there, every budget debate, the EFF has been tabling proposals, including remodeling of what should be the expenditure and the revenue side of the budget, The only difficult thing then was that you had 6 minutes to make your input and the ANC had majority. But with a proper and genuine engagement, there's ample time. If Parliament is active, if the Parliamentary Budget Office has capacity, if the Financial and Fiscal Commission is well capacitated, we could engage the budget parallel to the Treasury formulating it, so that by the time it comes to Parliament, our modelling to recalibrate the entire budget already, we're able to say, oh no, we don't agree with the Minister of Finance on this education allocation. Instead of 10, we're going to make it 17. In health, instead of 5, we're going to make it 10. And so on. And in such a way that when we're done with the budget, it then reflects a budget of Parliament, not a budget of Treasury. The Treasury's responsibility in this instance is to simply put together sound and acceptable proposal, which would then take forward as Parliament and then pass a budget that should be people's budget in all its manner and character, not what has been happening in the past 30 years.
Appreciate your time there. Dr. Kumani Chimomola is an EFF senior researcher. Thank you so much for all of that. Got also on the line SAFTU General Secretary Zwelinzi Mavavi, who was listening into that conversation. Mr. Bavi, good evening and welcome, and thank you so much for your patience.
Good afternoon to you, and good afternoon to everybody else.
Mr. Vavi, what's your reaction to the Western Cape High Court's decision that was passed on Sunday with regards to the VAT increase?
We're happy, and it's a very important victory, and not only for the EFF, but for every working class person in our country. We couldn't celebrate Freedom Day in a more meaningful way than to roll over in appreciating this massive victory that has been scored on behalf of the population of South Africa. We've always taken a view that the VAT is a regressive tax system that will punish and impact disproportionately more on the marginalized majority of our people, the face of which being black people and the working class. And we've always said that there was no justification whatsoever that the government chose to punish the poor and to solve the crisis of capitalism on the backs of the working class. And we have for years pointed out that there are more meaningful ways, acceptable means of shifting the tax burden away from the shoulders of the rich, of the poor, to the shoulders of those that can afford more taxation. We've called for the wealth tax, solidarity tax. We've called for an end to illicit cash outflows and mispricing. We've called for the introduction of the more heavy tax on those who can afford to bring in luxury goods from all over the world, cars, watches, and everything that the elite is enjoying. That the minister was not prepared to listen to. But he had forgotten one thing. That is now a money bill that was approved thanks to many years of campaigning. The money bill now allows Parliament to amend the budget. And the guys were so arrogant. They thought that once they cobble the majority and through misleading and pulling the wool on the smaller parties, they can just ignore the Constitution of the Republic and the legislation. Thank you very much to the EFF that they took them to clean us there.
So what should be happening, Mr. Vavi, is that in as much as, you know, we just heard now from the EFF saying that, you know, the Standing Committee of Finance is the one that's supposed to be engaging with the parliament and parliamentarians and various committees. What actually should be happening from what the bill states, it's other stakeholders as well, including yourselves, should be engaged. Are you preparing some inputs in case there is a decision to go and amend the fiscal framework?
We will be there first in the queue, I can assure you and the public. Look, we fought from the COSATU perspective when I was still there for years to get the parliament to amend the money bill so that Parliament can have an oversight that is meaningful, can amend against a history since 1994 where Parliament was just used to rubber stamp.
Mm.
Even when there was a power given to Parliament to amend the budget, but the ANC majority meant that practically that will not happen.
Mm.
Practically, when the minister presents a budget, that budget will be adopted as it is, irrespective of all of what we go and say to the portfolio committee in the submissions.
Yeah.
They will be ignored, totally ignored. Thanks, now the ANC is down to 40%. It doesn't have that majority to just ignore the voices of the public. Thanks again to this court order that now it is affirmed that Parliament is not a rubber stamp of the executive. It has an authority above the executive. And that it will no longer be business as usual. You have to come and make a submission. We have to allow a meaningful engagement with the parties in Parliament. And in that process, you're going to have to have a meaningful engagement with trade unions,
mm-hmm.
civil society,
mm-hmm.
and all other interested parties.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that, Parliament then will amend. That's what is critically important.
Yep.
And I know that political is a risk because sometimes you can have a neoliberal majority in Parliament,
yep.
who can still go ahead and endorse whatever the minister
mm-hmm,
is saying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a very important public education that we have been given through this victory of Sunday, that now Parliament do have a right such that the psychopaths who are always ready to tick will now know that, oh gosh, we do have the power. Let's exercise the power we were voted here by the ordinary people of our country. Can we give those people a voice?
It's come at a high cost. I mean, we are now going
to have a very high cost.
Yeah, we're going to have a minister table a third budget. I mean, that's ludicrous.
The fellow, the minister, very arrogant. Remember the clip that have been circulating, you know, he makes a very casual, arrogant statement that says, one day you wake up and you're very angry that we are calling him a neoliberal and somebody who's pushing an austerity program. Then out of the blue, he calls the DG to say, increase the VAT by 2% so that I can use the extra cash to fund them, to give them their 370 rand, to increase their pension and other social grants close to inflation target, just like he's doing it to his children. Mm. Literally believing that we have now become part of his family arrangement, thanks to the EFF, because we would have marched as we marched in January and February, and March, we were marching in Parliament. We would have marched and they would have ignored us forever. And now we know how important it is to have a constitutional democracy and that to have a separation or recognizes the separation of power between the executive, parliament, and the judiciary. So those who are saying that we must in future have the parliament as the only authority in the country are making a big mistake. The parliament is important. It's a voice of the people collected, but so is important is the role of the courts, the judiciary, and of course the executive. And this court order gives us that lesson for free again, thanks to the guys who took this up in the court.
I really appreciate you giving us your time today, SAFTU General Secretary Zolinzi Mavavi. And I mean, you heard me say it would be the third time that the minister tables it. Let's remember the very first one, he didn't actually get to table it because the decision was made that there was too much pressure around the 2% hike. And then he came back And then we had what we all heard, and then this then will be the third time he's tabling a budget. I think it's, I would call this a mini crisis, maybe not even so mini after all. But I'd love to hear from you. 086-000-0959. You can send voice notes on 063-688-0959. I promised you last week that we are going to continue looking at what this means for you and me directly. If you own a business, your own personal tax, all of the above. We were preparing for the VAT hike when we spoke last week. So we'll have our guest again tomorrow to explain what then happens from tomorrow with those of you who are preparing for the VAT hike, especially those who are retailers, distributors and the like. And how do we get to adjust, and what does it mean actually for government itself in its own functions and delivering of services? So we'll have that conversation with Busisiwe Mdletshe, as we had promised last week, from Netvest, to help us explain what then happens in real terms, not the process of parliament, but in real terms, how you and I get affected by the decision by the court.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.